On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Good moment, wasn't it? Good place to start too when talking about this Brisbane Test match, which is all over in about 2.5 days, which is disappointing from a spectator and a viewer point of view. Good for Australia to win so convincingly, but Pat Cummins is the name on everyone's lips, former Australian fast bowler Stewie Clark's going to tell us just how good this bloke can be. Hello, Stewie.
Morning, Jim.
There were some stats put up after 18 tests, what Glenn McGrath had done and what Dennis Keith Lilly had done, and Pat Cummins fared very favourably with both players. Are we putting too much pressure on him? Are we getting ahead of ourselves when you start linking him with the two greatest fast bowlers Australia's ever had?
Look, you can make the comparison. I suppose he's bowling that well at the moment. He's doing everything asked of him, and he continues to get guys out to left, right and centre, and he was brilliant up here in Brisbane again this test match. So, look, the comparison's there. There's a long way. And look, longevity's a big thing in international cricket. Glenn McGrath played over 100 tests. So, look, if Pat can get there, well, mate, then he will be in that sort of echelon of players. But long way to go between now and then. We've just got to accept that he's bowling very well and arguably, one of the best bowlers in the world at the moment.
Yeah, he's been the linchpin of our attack, Stewie. Good morning. But what about the debut of Jai Richardson? I mentioned to Jimmy earlier, he's been terrific in the short format of the game, but he brings a real energy to the bowling attack, doesn't he?
No, he was really good up here. He ran in all day. He didn't look overawed by the occasion. He pitched the ball up. He got it to move both ways with the pink ball. So from his point of view, it was a great debut. Got a couple of wickets in the second inning, so he picked up 5 for the match. But didn't look overawed by the occasion, which is the most pleasing thing, and looked like he could bowl in any sort of conditions. The test will be when he plays on a wicket where there is a less sideways and through the air movement, but there's no reason why he can't be successful there as well.
Which might be Canberra, right? The way that pitch has played over the last few years. Just before we get to that and other things, let's keep talking fast bowlers. Mitch Stark, just a little bit of scrutiny, a little bit under the microscope. The pace was back, the rhythm seemed to be there, but the results aren't coming for Mitchell Stark. What's your take on his performances, over the 2.5 days and the summer in general?
Going through one of those patches at the moment where things aren't quite working for him. He's doing everything asked of him, from what I can understand within the change room. He's training hard. He's practicing. He's working on, direction and working on what length to bowl. Certainly the pace was back. Certainly his effort and his intent was there. It's just not working at the moment for him to start, unfortunately. And he's going through where he has to keep just hanging in there. There's not much he can really do. Yesterday was a good example. Late in the innings, he gets nick and it flies over the top of the slips rather than going to a slip fielder. Or someone at the moment, like Pat Cummins, is going straight to fielders. He bowls a short ball and someone cuts it and goes straight to a fielder.
Yeah.
Mitchell Stark's right on the other end and everything he does is not working. So the challenge for Mitch is to keep hanging in. This is just a part of the game when you talk about being in form and out of form, and you hear that a lot with batsmen. Well, Mitch is going through the same thing with the bowlers. And as long as he's doing the work off the field, behind the scenes at training and in his preparation, then it's only a matter of time. You can't bowl at sort of 145 to 150 kilometres an hour and get the ball to swing and be 6'6" and all the rest of it and not be successful after a period of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Stewie, I think our bowling stocks are looking pretty good for the Ashes, but what about our batting? It's been a problem all summer. I think everyone identified that at the start of the summer as the issue. Still no test 100 for any Australian batsman, but some reasonably good signs again there in Brisbane. Marcus Harris, the top of order, got runs again. Labuschagne, Head, and Curtis Patterson on his test debut showed some promising signs, Stewie.
Yeah, everyone's showing promising signs, Ray. I think all batsmen the batsmen that are probably in question looked like they were doing this. Marcus Harris, I think, will be on the Ashes tour. There's no question about that. He's pretty much shown enough, although he hasn't got 100 during the summer. He looked good again, didn't look troubled by anything. Unfortunately, he hit a short ball, which was just a complete long hop point right off the toe of the bat, and he was out. Joe Burns probably didn't do himself any favours. He got caught on the move again, nicking the second slip. Melvin Shane, I think, will be on the Ashes. I think I was really impressed by the way he batted. Takes a nice stride at the ball when he is batting. Looks confident. Walks out of the crease like he believes he's a good player, so he'll be there. Travis Head got runs. I'm not, you know, I suppose that, you know, we want to see Travis Head getting runs. Maybe, look, he batted, I'm not going to take any increase, but he batted well enough, so he's very much in the mix for selection. And Curtis Patterson, I thought in the debut, having to bat under lights and come in when the ball was doing plenty, showed that he has a little bit of ability. Took one of the best catches you've ever seen at Gully yesterday as well. So, look, they're all there. The problem is we've got two of the probably Australia's best ever players in the last 10 years coming back into the team for the Ashes. And there's six batters in this team, and there's only four spots. So we have to just sort of, you know, the weight of runs will get you in this team. So if you want to be assured of a spot, walk out, get 100 in Canberra. It's the last test match before the Ashes, and then you're going to be there or thereabouts.
All right, let's look at it wider than that. And I know you've got the administrator's hat that you can put on. David Warner sitting with Ricky Ponting watching the tennis on Friday night. Are we starting to see the facilitation of David back into the Australian setup and just making himself a little bit more public?
Oh, I think he was probably in Canberra after having his elbow fixed or whatever he had done to it. And he probably rang Ricky and said, I'd like to go to tennis. Ricky, being Ricky, probably made some calls and went down there. But yes, I think you're right. You're starting to see, you know, David being... he did some stuff with Channel 9 very early on in the piece as well. But I think we're all realising now that these two will come back into the team. They've served their penalty. They've both done it in different ways, I'll probably say. But look, David Warner, for me, and I can't speak on behalf of everyone else for Australian cricket, but he's a quality player. He deserves his opportunity after serving his suspension. And the Australian cricket team need him and his batting ability back in the team. Hanging out with Ricky Ponting can't be a bad thing for your cricketing profile, given that Ricky was one of the greatest players that have ever played for Australia. So there's probably something in a bit of both. He likes tennis. He wants to watch the tennis match. But it's also good to be seen with Ricky Ponting.
Exactly, yeah. Just finally, Stu, the second test against Sri Lanka in Canberra, significant change to the potential starting 11. I'm a bit of a Marcus Stoinis fan. I know Jimmy has some doubts. He's been included in the test squad. Where do you sit with Marcus Stoinis, Stu?
Well, he's showing a lot in short version cricket. We really haven't had an opportunity to see him in any sort of long version cricket, have we? So, I'm a fan of Marcus Stoinis. I think he's a player that looks like he's got plenty of ability, given the opportunity. The question is, where does he bat? I know they've left Renshaw out of the squad for the Canberra match. He'd have to bat at six. There's no question about that. He can't, you know, he's probably not going to bat any higher than that, which means Curtis Patterson, after one test, will probably miss out.
It'd be a tough call,
They play Marcus Stoinis. The fact that he bowls, and Australia are always looking for an all-rounder. All teams are looking for an all-rounder. I don't think it's just Australia, but... you know, the question is, do they give him a game or not? It will really depend on the wicket, and the flatter the wicket, the more chance he is of playing to give Australia another option with the ball, because Cummins, Stark and Richardson will all come off a 3-day test match, so they're going to get some rest.
Yeah.
But certainly just gives them another option. If it was me, I'd be looking at the wicket before I made any decision, and I haven't had a chance to do that.
WBBL final yesterday. No surprise it was a cracking game. The surprise is that it's on at 10 past 10 in the morning.
Yeah, it was on, and I think this is just a scheduling thing that Cricket Australia don't really like two cricket matches going on at the same time. They played it early in the morning. It was actually quite good at the Gabba watching. They had it up on the big screen. So those that were at the game early were sitting there watching the game on the big screen before the test match started. But it was a cracking game of cricket. Unfortunately, the Sixers lost. But look, these games are always, and it's funny with the BBL, they always go right down to the wire, or in most occasions they do, because it seems to be very, very close in competition. And for the Brisbane Heat, they should be really happy. It's the first time the Sixers have lost a final, I think, so their dominance is over. But the Heat will celebrate well.
Gigging.
So what was that?
Gigging.
Digging?
No, gigging. Are you gigging in Brisbane?
I was doing ABC, Jim.
Right. So that's yes.
Working,
obviously, spent a lot of time in the car on the radio, listening to the radio.
You're allowed to earn a living, Jim.
Oh, I understand that. Tell you what.
Right. and by, earn a living. Jimmy, more events than any man knows.
Exactly.
By the way, New South Wales Blues, $1.45 to win the State of Origin series.
Is that all?
Mate, fair to him. Get that centre of excellence sorted, otherwise.
Yeah, mate, they'll be training now. They're already preparing. Freddie, just talking to him right now as we speak.
There we go.
Well, that fills me with confidence. Well done. And what fills me with even more confidence is the fact that you're in Brisbane and away from them. Rather than walking in and saying, hey, Freddie, I've got this idea.
Freddie, mate, I don't like that play, mate. Come on.
Very good, Stewie. Enjoy Brisbane. A couple of days off here. What are you, touring around the River City?
We'll see what goes on, Jim. We'll have a couple of days and see what's happening. And, you know, I'll probably go and talk to the Australian cricket team, talk a little bit of tactics with them.
Outstanding, Stu. Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to have you into the inner sanctum. Yeah. Good on you, mate. We'll speak shortly.
Good on you, Jim.
Thanks, Stu. See you, mate.